Right, it's at the bottom of Amud Bet, but the two dots. The Mishnah had made a distinction between one man and two women, and two men and one man, and two men and one woman. So Gemara says that this distinction, Amar Vido Marav, only apply Lo Shana El B'Ksherim. The only application we're done about Ksherim. So when you say there's no Yichud when you have one woman and two men, that's only if the two men are Ksherim. But once you have Putzim, it's irrelevant how many men you have there because there's no deterrence. There's no, right, nobody's embarrassed and nobody's necessarily not willing to participate in such a act. Abamase, the case, Gemara brings us proof to this. Ve'otziu, asara b'mita. This woman, they were carrying her out, right, because pretended that she was dead. They carried her out on her deathbed, quote unquote. And there were 10 people holding her because she was heavy. And they then perpetrated an illicit act with her. So we see here that there were 10 people involved, and yet that none of that was a deterrent because they were all in on the plan. And therefore, whether they have prutzim, that's not a does not help for yichud. Amar Yosi Teda, the mechabrei be'asara v'gangvei kishua, ve'lo mechavei mahadadi. That when you have a very, very heavy board that somebody wants to steal, or a heavy building item that someone wants to steal, 10 people get together, and they go ahead and they steal it together. And none of them are embarrassed by the other one. I mean, that since they're all in on this act of stealing, right, they have no compunctions about taking what doesn't belong to them or embarrassed about it. So you see this idea that once you have prutzim, it's irrelevant how many people are there. It's only when you have ksherim, where there's a deterrence by having other people around, does that help the gabe yichud. The Mitzayile, we saw this earlier, and we saw this in Sota. Mosrin lo shnei talmidei chachamim, shema yavo ale abaderech. Right. Once the Baal has been has kina tzira with his wife by Sota, then he becomes restricted from having relations with his wife. And if he does have relations with his wife, then the mayim are no longer both kin. Right. The water no longer checks him because he's then in violation of the lav. If he's in violation of any lav, that the mayim no longer makes sota, no longer work, because we said it's man she aish nukeme avon. When the man is totally clear, then bokim et ishto, then the waters work for his wife. So we say we send along with him two tamidei chachamim. Mosim lo shnei tamidei chachamim shema yavo alei abaderech, right, in order that prevent him from having relations with her on the way. So Gemara says tamidei chachamim in shedam alo. The requirement over there in sota is for tamidei chachamim, not just regular people. That would be a proof to Amar Yudhara Rav, because they say you need Ksherim in order to have it, there are no problems of Yichud, right? Then they need to send along two Tamidei Chachamim because they will be Ksherim. Somebody says, well, Shiny Tamidei Chachamim, Diyadei Let Shurei Be. No, the problem here is not an issue of Yichud, but it's rather a problem of Hatra, that they want to be able to give warning and proper warning to tell him that if he, you know, has relations with his wife now, who is restricted to him, then the mayim won't work. The mayim won't be bokimota. Or we want to know that if he does have it, that we don't give him the mayim to drink, because then we have to raise the sham Hashem, and we know it's not going to work. So I'm Rabbi Yudam Rav Loshna Ela Be'ir. That's only true in a city. Meaning two men and one woman is not yichud. That's true in a city. Aval b'derech, when the people are out, you know, traveling, Ashu Shlosha, you need to have three men, one woman. Why Shem Yitzarek Echad Mehem Lashtin V'dim Tzeh Echad Mitzchedim Erva? Because if one of them has to take a pit stop, go to a restroom, then he's going to leave the traveling party, and that will leave the woman isolated with a man. So if we have three, then if one goes to the restroom, then there'll still be two left with them. So Gemara tries again. Name of Mitzayle, Moshim Lo Shtein, Tamar Chachamim, Shem Yavol Le'Abadarach. So they give him two Tamar Chachamim because maybe he will be isolated with his wife and have relations with her. I said, Trei Be'il, Atlata. Why are they sending two Tamei Chachamim? You have two Tamei Chachamim plus him, right? Then you have three people now with his wife. So Mar says, Hatam ki hechadinava le'tzadik. The reason we send two Tamei Chachamim over there is not because of the Ichud issue, but it's rather we need two witnesses aside from him. I mean that outside of him, we need two witnesses to tell us whether he's had relations with his wife, because he's had relations with his wife. Again, we're not going to erase the Shem Hashem. We're not going to do the may still time, because we know it's not going to work. So we need two witnesses to attest to that fact. So that's the reason to tell me to come as to Hatra and Edut, and nothing to do with Yichud. It's not a proof to either of Rabbi Yehuda or Amarav's statements. One, that by Putzim, Yichud is irrelevant, meaning that the number of men does not help you anymore. When you're Putzim and Ksherim, even when you're traveling outside the city, you need three and not two to have it not be Yichud. By Rav Rabbi Yehuda, Kazli Burcha, so Rav Rabbi Yehuda were walking along the way. So it's the same Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, right, that we've had till now. They were walking together on the way. There was a woman in front of them. So Rav Rabbi Yehuda, Dal Karech Mikamei Gehenim, said, speed your way up so we can get out of Gehenim here. And he says, and we want to get ahead of this woman. They didn't want to be behind her. He wanted to pass the woman. So Rabbi Yehuda says back to his Rabbi Rav, aren't you the one who said when you have two Ksherim, that's enough for Yichud, there should be a problem of Yichud over here? So he says back to him, Marley, me Yemer, the Ksherim is going out of Ad. Who said, when I said Ksherim, I didn't mean like you and me, that's not called Ksherim. So who is, right? Who is Ksherim he's talking about? Go on, Rabbi Chanina, where probably be Chavir Rav. Like Rabbi Chanina ben Papi and his friends, which we saw earlier in the Gemara on Lama Tenem Abed and Memo and Alex there, there were stories of Rabbi Chanina ben Papi, Rabbi Sadok, and Rabbi Kahana. There the Gemara discusses that anybody who overcomes the Yetzer of Erba, right, then he has like these superpowers afterwards. And there the Gemara relates a number of stories. Rabbi Chanina ben Papi was proposed or solicited by a matron, and then he did something, he spoke some secret word or the Shem Hashem, and he turned into all these, he had blisters and shchin and everything all over him. And Rabbi Sadok jumped into the oven, right, to escape the Majunito. Rabbi Kahana also, three stories there about them being saved from Erva over there. And again, Rashi points over there that they were compelled to listen to the matrons because they would kill them otherwise. They had the power to have them executed. So they were compelled to listen despite that. They were able to maneuver around the fact that they were being proposed or solicited by these matrons. Those are the types of Ksherim we're talking about, not us, Rav Yehuda and Rav. Again, this is, seems to be listening Mishur Tadin, right, that this is not the Ikra Halacha, but Rav wanted to be extra careful with the Gabbai. So he returns to Riyaz Zagan, says, but his brother, the listening Mishur Tadin Avad, that he was clearly, you know, not, this is not the Ikra Adin, right, because we don't, I mean, obviously don't pass them like this. All right, I'm a Rav. Rav says, Malkin ala Yichud. We give Malkus for Yichud. And this is a case of Malkin ala Yichud, obviously, is Makas Marzut, right? It's rabbinic in nature. According to almost all the Rishonim, Yichud is only a din dirabonon. According to the Rambam, possibly it's a din d'oraisa. But generally, we assume it's a din dirabonon. So we're talking about Malkus over here, we're talking about Makas Marzut, meaning that rabbinic lashes. Ve'enu srim ala Yichud. We're not oser based on the yichud. The way Rashi reads it here is that we don't oser in ish. An ish who has yichud, we don't restrict her to her husband. I mean, that's not sufficient. Yichud is not sufficient to restrict her to her husband. On the other hand, it's enough to get malkana yichud. Now, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi qualifies this. Lo Amar Nel be yichud pnuya. Ava yichud ish ish lo shalotei motzilaz al bana. This statement of Rav that malkana yichud is only relevant to a pnuya, only relevant to a single woman, not to a married woman. Why? Because if we give lashes to a married woman, what are people going to assume? They're going to assume that she had an illicit relationship over here, and then there are going to be questions about her children at this point. Because why? Truthfully, she's chayav mitzvah. She had an extramarital affair, but today we can't execute with, right? That's not extant anymore. The Beis Din doesn't have the ability to execute. So what do they do instead? They give makas marzut. So what are people going to think if they're giving lashes to this woman that she actually did have an illicit relationship? The reason they're not killing her is because they're not empowered to kill her, but they give her lashes instead. So now, the way Rashi learns, right? The way Rashi learns now is that the first statement of Rav is about a pnuya, that you give lashes for yichud. And then the second statement about lo osrin al yishdis means it's talking about an ashes ish, right? We're talking about a married woman, which says that we do not restrict on her. And number two is we don't even give her lashes, which means
the fact that we don't restrict her, it kind of proves that we don't give her makas.
That's what Ravashi says. Now, Tosfos asks your question, I think, Shaul, what you were leaning towards is that the way Ravashi is explaining it is that the two statements of Rav are one about a pnuya and one about ashes ish. They're not consistent through their statement. That Tosfos says, and because of that, he says that he thinks that Vinira the Farish, the Reed says, the Sefer Naaman Mairi Bipnuya. The second half of Rav's statement is also about a single woman. La Ostra, what does it mean, La Ostra? It means to the Kohen Mishum Zonah. we're not owed to her to a kohen because of the shame zonah. I mean that she doesn't lose her status of yichus here because of this yichus. That is, the Tosfos learns that you have a statement by Rav about single women, which says one, we give malchus for yichud. Number two is we don't ruin her shidduch chances because of this yichud. Right? She doesn't lose her yichud because of this yichud. And then Rav Ashi comes along and says, well, despite the fact that we give malchus to a tnuya, we do not give malchus to an eshadish because of the problem of laz that will come up. Now, Marzutra, malki umachris. The Marzutra used to give lashes and announced it. So the way Rashi learns it over here is Marzutra, as opposed to Rav Ashi, that gave malchus to married women, but announced why he was giving it. So it was clear that it wasn't because that she had perpetrated it, but because of yichud. And that would clear up this problem. Now, the Rambam, on the other hand, the Gra points out here, the Rambam's gear seems to be different, or the Rambam explains this, that it's talking about a pnuya. That Marzutra used to give malchus and announced why he was giving malchus when it came to a isha pnuya. So people would know it was because of yichud that they were giving. Right, that's probably protect against yichus or other things that would not be. Or, on the other hand, we'll see in a second that there's important to announce why a person is getting malchus. I mean, they have to know what the violation is. So, Amar Rav Nachman Parhatayil Rav Ashi. Mar Nami Lo Kevil Achuz. Right, if this great solution for Marzutra, why don't you, Rav Ashi, do the same thing? So, Amar Lai, Yikat Hashama Baha, Lo Shama Baha. Right, so we have some time, because the Gemara has this answer in other places. That we're not always confident that some people be around for the whipping, not for the announcement. Some people around for the announcement, not for the whipping. They're not going to get the proper message necessarily. So therefore, don't want to put any or mostly lies. I mean, that's a serious issue. That if our children are considered mamzerim, a serious implication. So therefore, we don't want to create a situation in which there would be such suspect about a woman's offspring. Right now, Amar Rav, we have another statement from Rav Malkin Alo Tova Hashmua. That we give malchus for rumors. Right? Now, rumors here is that there's a kol, Rashi, where Rashi finds the Mishios, the kol alav shu over avirot. That he's consistently being over avirot. Malkitin oto lo shuma alavu. Because lo tova is the equivalent of alav. Why is that? Shenemar, it says by Bnei Eli, right, when Chofni and Pinchas the rumors are circulating that they are sleeping with the women who come up with their karbanot in the Mishkan. Eli says to them, "Albanai ki lo tova shmua." Right? My sons, this should not be, or don't do this. I'm not hearing good things about you. Right? And so here we see that there's a lav or a negative statement about just rumors. I mean that Eli didn't know for certain; he had just heard this rumor circulating about his children. So through your Rav says that we give malchus if there is a persistent rumor about someone being a consistent violator. Right, then we give malchus in order to stop it.
No smoke without fire. Right, exactly.
So Marzutra, motiv la aftira katfei, used to place the whip, I don't know, his shoulder when he's whipping the other individual, makrile al banai. When he's giving him malchus, he says that the malchus were because of al banai, because of these rumors that were spreading around. I mean, that he gave, you have to always declare why the person is getting malchus, and because he's declaring when the person gets malchus, over a year also, he declared it was because of Al-Banai, that he was using this statement of Rav, or this restriction against having bad rumors spread about you. So I'm a Rabba. The Bala Ba'ir, Ein Choshishim Mishim Yichud. If her husband is in the city, right, then we don't worry about Yichud. Now, Rashi over here says, what does it mean, Baal Be'er, we don't worry about Yichud? Rashi says that you don't get Malchus. Because she's always afraid in Mistafe that Baal Hashta Ati, my husband's coming right now. So it's a deterrent. That Baal Be'er is a deterrent when it comes to Yichud. And therefore there is no Yichud when Baal Be'er. But Rashi formulates it, he says that it means that you don't get Malchus. Not that there is, but there seems to remain an Easter. Tosfos disagrees, right? And we pass from Halacha this way, that it's also no Easter. That if Baal Be'er, right, there is no Easter of Yichud anymore because the surprise factor, the fear factor, is what prevents anything from happening. That prevents the problem of Yichud deteriorating into something more because the husband can be here. How, or what is called Baal Be'er, right, is depending, is it Machlokas, Afonim, and Poskim, modern day Poskim, about what is considered to be Ba'ir, right? I mean, if you work in Yerushalayim, is that considered Ba'ir for Beit Shemesh, right? So some poskim will say no, because the element of surprise or the element of deterrence has been removed, because they know you're in Yerushalayim, right, then they know they have at least 40 minutes, 25 minutes that they before you show up, depending on the day. Whereas Bala Be'ir means like in Beit Shemesh itself, meaning that there always is the possibility that the person will show up.
If a man is, let's say his family are in Jerusalem, he's in hospital in Jerusalem with a couple of broken legs,
right, so that might not qualify again, right. Bala Be'ir has to be the assumption that the husband can't come home and can't surprise the wife, meaning that the deterrent factor has to be there. Question of what the deterrent factor is, or
how big of a surprise.
Right, how big a surprise does it have to be? I mean, that how soon, or even the fact, or the mere fact, according to some posting, that he could come home from Yerushalayim, she wouldn't know, that could be the surprise factor. I mean, not that you have to be really in the city, but there has to be always that possibility that he could show up at some point. But again, if the woman knows that her husband never comes home during this period of time, or, you know, that this is not a situation that causes fear for her, then maybe you lose the factor of Bala Be'ir. Right now, I'm Rav Yosef. Petach patuach l'reshut rabim, ein choshishim mishim yichud. If you have a door that opens to reshut rabim, then we don't worry about yichud. Petach patuach l'reshut rabim, or a window that faces reshut rabim. In those situations, there's no problem with yichud because they're exposed. Meaning that it's no longer yichud because there are always parties or people that are being mistovev or passing by looking in. Right, so if they are standing, meaning that if someone comes to a house and they're standing in the front window, the bay window into the street, and everybody can see, then there's no yichud over there because everybody can see the two people in the house. There's no problem with yichud in that instance. Again, or if the door is open, right, so that they're exposed, meaning that there's no closure or seclusion, right, that also prevents them, right, there's no longer a problem of yichud. Now the Chazon Ish has a big chiddush on this. It says that, but he wrote his tshuva, obviously in the 1930s in Eretz Yisrael. He says that even if the door is closed and unlocked, that would be sufficient to be considered petach patuach l'reshut rabim, because people walk in. That's what happens. And people will come. You have friends, neighbors who come in. If they see the door's open, they'll just it's unlocked. They'll knock one and they'll come in. So that element of surprise, that element of not being secluded, is still there because of this coming in. Question about today in modern day society: is that true? I've heard from some folks who want to say that the Chazon Ish might change his mind today. I mean, that was the reality in 1930s Eretz Yisrael, where it was a big bungalow colony, and everybody walked into each other's apartments. Or it might have to do with, again, culturally, where people live. Whether people just walk in when the door is open, or, like in modern-day suburbia, is that really true? That people, if they find the door unlocked, so they're just going to barge in or walk into the house. So again, that determinant, Petach Batuach L'Reshut Rabim, right, is a question mark. I mean, you have to know. I've heard many poskim say that it still works. Like the Chazon Ish, if the door is unlocked, it doesn't have to be open. Other poskim believe the door must be actually open or ajar in order to create this sensation or this sense of petach patuach l'reshut rabim. Rav Bibi ikla lebei Rav Yosef. So Rav Bibi went to the house of Rav Yosef, but the kar christa, after they ate upstairs in the aliyah. Amalo shkuli darga mitute Bibi. So Yosef and his wife were upstairs. They went downstairs and then they pulled the stairs, right? So they left basically where Bibi stuck up in the attic. So he says, "Rama Rabba Bala Be'ir in Kol Shemishim Yuchud." What are you so worried? He's locking Rav Bibi upstairs. Rav Yosef's here and his wife's downstairs, and Rav Bibi's upstairs and they pull the ladder. Why does he got to pull the ladder? I mean, there is no Yuchud issue because Rav Yosef's in the house. I said, "Shani Rav Bibi the Shush Binte Habay." He was the best man of Rav Yosef, the Gaita Bey. And she felt comfortable with him, meaning that there was a certain level of comfort between Rav Bibi and Rav Yosef's wife that mitigated some of the fear factor. So Rav Yosef felt that it was not enough that Bala Be'ir, but he needed to do something more, right, to ensure that there was no Yichud over here because of the commonness or the easiness with which the relationship exists between Rav Bibi and his wife. If you have men on the outside and women on the inside, meaning that they have the enclave, a house of women on the all inside, and then you have men on the outside. We don't worry about yichud. Why? Because any woman, who has to go out, the people on the inside have to pass through the outside house to exit. When they go out, you have multiple men in the outside house, and you have a woman passing through. That's not a, right, that we don't have to worry about yichud. Right? And we don't worry that a man's going to go inside, right? Because that's not the normal way. The people outside don't go into the inner house. That's not the normal way. Right? But if you have anashim bifnim, anashim b'chutz, if the men are on the inside and the women are on the outside, then we're worried. Why? Because each man, when they leave, right, they're going to go out, they go now into an area where there's lots of women, and lots of women don't necessarily prevent ichud. And we said in the Mishnah, right? Two women, one man, it doesn't help you out in this circumstance. So if one man goes out into the women's area, then he is miyachid with the women on the outside. But nisa, kind of equal. But praisa, that learns just the opposite. Meaning that when the men are on the inside and the women on the outside, then there is no yichud. Why? Because when the man exits and goes into the women's area, he always has the fear that someone else will exit after him. He doesn't know who's coming after him, somebody coming after him. So if he goes out there and he starts to do something wrong, then some guy could be coming out right after him. And the other way around, if you have the women on the inside and the men on the outside, then we're choshesh because over here, we're worried about one of the guys sneaking inside and being in there with the women. I mean, obviously the first case did not. Right, so now Rabbi, Ashadam Rav Kana Hachi, Vitanam Anita Yipcha. So now that Rav Kana stated it one way, and the Braisa stated the opposite way, Ananavi the Chumra. Right, we're going to go the Chumra both ways. I mean that either way it'll be a problem of Yichud, because we choshesh for both Tzadim, both Cheshashot, right, that the possibility of Yichud exists in both instances. So now, Abaye, this is an interesting case here. Rashi says the case of Drashor or Chuppah. It says, the drasha chupa, Abaye dair gufi. Rabbi used to hang kli cheres, little utensils or vessels between the men and the women, because it would make noise if they tried to get close to each other. I mean, that it was a warning system, right? So that somebody would know when a man or a woman crossed over the line, because he put these, earthenware vessels that would make noise if you crossed over, you passed over that. Rabbi dair kano. He used to do it with brushes. That also, again, if you crossed over them, if you stepped on them, they would make noises, so it would prevent. So it's interesting here that the problem, or that Abaye and Rava are trying to prevent, is not necessarily, they're not preventing, they are trying to prevent in the end, Yuchel, but they're not trying to say over here the mixing of the male and female. What they're trying to do is prevent someone from sneaking over, right, and being miyachet, or, right, joining the women, or going out.
There's so many men and so many women.
Right, well now, but we said that many women is not sufficient. So he used to try to keep them separate in this way, but it doesn't seem for the sake of separateness is what they did it for, but they would put up a warning system if someone crossed over. I mean, they weren't after the split, the mechitza, but they were after preventing something happening, right, from them crossing over.
This whole question of one man with lots of women, I find difficult to understand what the problem is. I mean, unless he takes one of the women and goes somewhere else.
Right, so the Gemara yesterday suggested that they nashim datan kolot, and that they would be mufutah, that you could seduce, right, a number of women, or another one participate or overlook this. Now, that's the Gemara's assumption. There are, I think, if I remember correctly, there are some Rishonim believe that once you get to a certain number of women, that when you get to an excess, like you get to a large group of women, then that falls away, because the Mifutah only applies if you're talking about a small group of women. Then you can talk about the idea that he could dissolve them, or that what they would overlook it. Once you get to a large number of women, then your concern comes up, which is that, right, then there's really a tzibur here.
That's
and he
what
can't
talking about here. There's a group of women, a group of
right.
Men.
So it depends on how many. Right. So that'd be a question. There are other Rishonim who persist and say that it doesn't matter how many women there are. It's always a problem. Again, that either they won't they'll overlook, they'll turn a blind eye to this, or the notion that they could be included in the whole process. So, Amar Avin, or there are others that have accused Amar Baye, Sakva the Shat the Rigla. The worst time of the year is the Regel, is the, right, the holidays, the Yom Tovim. Why is that? So Rashi says, right, if you look at Rashi, Sakva the Shat the Rigla, Ri'ua Shal Yimot Shana, the Yichud. The worst time of year for Yichud, Avira, Yimot Regel. Because of the, what? The holidays. Sheyesh kutzot anashim and hashim l'shmo drasha. So that they come to hear the drasha. V'notnim zeh. And because when they're at the drasha, I don't know what notnim and notnim is. I don't know if they have, afterwards they're socializing or they're discussing the shiur afterwards. But there's some, right. Somehow there's a lot of interaction between the men and the women afterwards. Tosos formulates it slightly different, which is that, that anashim name is shmo drasha v'notnim ayin zeh. That they looking at each other, I mean that they're checking out who's on the other side. Right, so that's what Tosfos says, that it's an issue. It seems like he's Sakus or right, everybody looks good. So that's what Tosfos says. Rashi says it's a problem of actual Yichud and Aveirah, and has to do with that they are no sim, no dim, that they interact a lot. And Tosfos at the end here, brings down the minos, our minos here in this show. Ve'yesh lomar, ve'yesh omrim, kach nagu b'tenot, achar Pesach, ha'sukot, b'haz, after Sukkot and after Pesach, is premised on this fact, that the regular is the worst time of the year for Averot, and for Yichud, and for things to break down, overeating, other things that right, the regular brings around, so therefore we have Bahab afterwards, to for one to have introspection and retrospection on what took place during the regular. So they had these captives that they brought to Narada, these women captives that they were redeeming, and they brought them to Narada. Skin of the Bay Rav Amram Chasido. They said, alright, we'll house them in the house of Rav Amram Chasido. This is Rav Amram Chasid, that's why they were going to put him there, so they wouldn't have any problems. Ashku Darga Mikamayo. So they put them up in the attic, and they pulled the stairs again. I mean, this idea that they couldn't. So one of the women was passing by, not on the Hura Bipuma, because of, I would have thought that it was the light came through and it shone on her face, and that's why Rav Amram saw her. But the other possibility is that, and I think the way Rashi interprets is that her face lit up, meaning that her face shone a light down that he saw down below through the opening between the attic and the house. So Shakli Rav Amram Ladarka, Dulabi Yachalim Be'asar Lemitlai, that he took the ladder, this staircase, that was unable to be moved with less than 10 people. It was so heavy, they needed 10 people to move it. Zayel Chudei. He was able to move it himself. And his desires were so stoked up that he was able to move the ladder. Almost single-handedly move, but 10 people could move. So he went up it. Kimati Lepalga, Darga. So he got halfway up. Ipsach. And he braced himself, right? He held his legs in place. Ramakala Nura Bayamram. Screamed, there's a fire in the house of Bayamram. Fire in the house of Bayamram. The whole city comes running, you know, they do the fire line, everybody coming in. So Atra Banar Malay, because Sistina, you embarrassed us. Here you are, you know, you set a false alarm off. You embarrassed us in front of the whole city. So Amrullah Mutav, Tich Tufu Be'amram Be'amal Hadain. Better that you be embarrassed by Avamram in this world, meaning that you should see Avamram either being embarrassed or you guys are embarrassed by what Avamram did. And that you should get up to Olam Abba and then be embarrassed about who your Rebbe was or who this Talmud Chacham Rav Amram that you trusted, and he's sitting in the way back there because of what I did. So better to be handle all the problems and have the fire, you know, in Olam Azif and not have the fire in the Olam Abba. Yishbayin, the Yinvak Minei. Right, so then he took a Shavu'ah that the Yitzhah Harash should leave him. Nafak Minei Kiamudu Denura. When shit, the Yitzhah came out of him like a fire, like a pillar of fire. Says, look, you're fire, I'm just flesh, and I overcame you. Right? So that was the, you know, the godless of Rav Amram, even though that he had those desires, he was able to overcome them, right? And despite the embarrassment that he would feel from calling everybody up, he was still willing to do that in order to protect himself from the Yetzer Hara. Now the Gemara is going to give cases like this of Amor Tanoim, that had experiences with the Yetzer Hara, right? And that they were seduced by the Yetzer Hara. Meir have a mitlot says, but over Avera. Meir used to make fun of people who sinned. Rashi has a different gear. So Rashi has mitlot says to Avera. He used to make fun of Averot in general. They mean that the Satan can't get him. So obviously always a bad thing to do. Yamachadim is like Satan ki itata, bahak kita denara. So one day the Satan says, alright, he shows up as a woman on the other side of the river. Lava Magra, there was no either bridge or raft to get across. Nakat mitra vakavar. He grabbed onto one of these planks that went across with just a rope, right, and he, you know, got himself across despite the difficulty. Kimata paga mitra shavkit. When he got halfway across, the satan packed out. Amar yilav the kamachasi berakia yitahu berabi meir v'toratah. They had an announced upstairs that watch out for Rabbi Meir and his Torah. Shavita l'demeich tarte moi. I would have taken your value down to 2 ma, like to some simple value. I mean, I could have seduced you. I could have, right, captured you. So I think the point here again is that one should not take lightly the idea of Obriya Beira or Yitzhah Hara. I mean, that these things are very powerful, right? And can't just assume that, make fun of them, or say that I can overcome them. That's what Rameh was saying. They're either making fun of those who were Obriya Beira or making fun of Beira in general. They don't be so certain that you can overcome such seduction or issues like Beirot and Yitzhah Hara. Rabbi Kiva mitlo tzeit Obriya Beira. Rabbi Kiva had a similar situation where you would make fun of Rivera or Rivera. You have a Hadith Melee Sadhu Gita Tabarish Dikla. Right, so the Sultan appeared to him like a woman at the top of a palm tree. Naktela Dikla Vakasalik Vazel. He was scaling the palm tree to get up to the woman. Kimatala Paga the Dikla Shavke. He got halfway up the tree, she disappeared. I mean, it's either allowed the Makhsi Rikir, he's ever been Kimatara. So, again, if they didn't warn me upstairs about Rabbi Akiva and Torah, again, I would have reduced your value down to Tuma. Again, similar concept. Right, so it's interesting. The stories are not, I'll be honest, it's not so positive, the stories. And the outcome is not so positive. I mean, that they were only prevented from the problem because he disappeared. I mean, so we have the possibility coming out of here, but we give him a mayor. One is that the Torah did protect them, like you're suggesting, that the Torah protected them, and that is a positive statement. On the other hand, I think that the message of the Gemara is that no one should think they're too big for the Torah. Right, that it's not such a simple thing, that you have to really, people have to be careful and can't always just poke fun, that these are things that are very tempting. And you can't just walk up.
The greater the
temptation.
Temptation,
right. So, Palimo, Avaragya Lememar, Koyoma, Gira Be'enit Satan. Palimo used to say every day, you know, a needle or a sword in the eye of the Satan. So, Yomachad, Mala Yom Kippur Imavo, it was Erev Yom Kippur, Idme Le Kanyam, he showed up like a poor person, the Satan. Ata Kara Baba, called on the door, Afiku Le Riftus, they took out a loaf of bread then. Everybody else is eating inside and you're leaving me outside. So he says, I carry the lay ripped up. So he brought him inside and gave him the bread inside. Says everybody else is eating at a table and you're gonna send me outside, be all alone. So he sat him at the table along with him. He was sitting there, this poor person appeared, he was full of boils and blisters that had pus running out of them. Right, so, and he was acting in a, like a pig, basically. He was acting in a disgusting manner. Amalei, Tiz, Shapir, he says to him, eat like a man, sit up, what are you doing over here? Right, so that's what Kalima says. Amalei, Havali Kasel, bring me a cup. So, Yavule Kasel, he brings him a cup. Achmar, Shadabe Kicho, right, so then I guess he coughed up some phlegm from his, they spit into the, he spit the saliva or the, whatever the phlegm was into this cup. So Nachubay. So he, Palimo screams at him. It's just like unacceptable. You can't do this at the table. So Saka, I don't know if it's Saka or Shaka, Umit. He pretended to die. The poor person, the Sadan, pretended to lay dead. Shamu, and then Palimo hears from outside. Voices have a Kamri, Palimo Katal Gavra, Palimo Katal Gavra. Palimo killed someone. So he thinks that the king's men are coming to get him because that there are rumors are circulating on their voices that are saying that he killed someone inside. Aruk, Vatashin Ashay Veda Kisei. He runs away. He tries to escape. He runs out to the bathroom, which is out obviously in the fields outside the city, in order that they won't catch him. Azil Batrei. So the Azil Batrei Nafal Kamei. So he went out and the Satan followed him out there. Followed him. You guys are definitely dire. Right? And when he saw that he was really in a lot of pain, Galilei Nafshay. And then he showed him that he was a Satan. I'm like, my time I'm Artachi. So he says, but the reason that the Satan says to Palimo, you know why I did all this to you? He says, because why are you saying this every day? Why are you saying, you know, sword in the eye of the Satan every day? You're poking fun at me every day, so I had to come and, you know, take care of you, make sure that you knew that it's not such a easy thing. So Palimo says, so what should I say? He says, I'm like, Leimar Mar, Rahmana Nigar Baby Satan. Hashem should take care of the Satan. Right? So it's interesting, right? Very big play that it's not, the human beings don't have that, are not empowered to overcome the Satan or to say things like that to the Satan, but rather, Kodesh Baruch, you should daven or ask that Hashem should remove the Satan or move the Satan away so he doesn't cause us difficulty. Every time he used to say Tachtun, Havamar Rachaman Yatzilenu Miyitzarat. Hashem should save us from the Yetzirah. Every time he fell on his face, he'd say, Tachlo, and he'd say, save me from the Yetzirah. Yom Echad Shmatinu Debitu. One day his wife heard him saying this. Amra, Michte, Kama Shonei Deparsh Leminai. We haven't been together for years. Hey, what Yetzirah is he worried about over here? So he says, my time with Amra. Hey, what's he saying over here? So Yom Echad, have a kagard to Ginte. So one day he was running out in the backyard, in the garden. Kashta Nafsha. She dressed herself up, right? She got herself all made up. Chalfa v'tanya kameh. She walked by him and then she back and forth. I mean, she went back and forth in front of him. Amrala, mana. So he said, sir, who are you? Amrana Cheruta, the Hadri Miyoma. She says, I'm Cheruta, who is a well-known prostitute in the city. The Hadri Miyoma, I just came back today. So Tava, so he solicited her. Amrala, Aita Niale, Lahakumono, the Resh Sutita. She goes, well, if you want to be with me, you gotta go up, give me the branch that's at the top of the palm tree. Shavar, he jumped. Azo ati in the yellow. He scaled up the palm tree, down with the branch, came there. He got to the basic. When he got home, Avakashagra, the bitu tanura. His wife was, lighting the fire in the stove, or stoking the stove, heating up the stove. Sazagayati begabe. He went and sat inside the stove. Amale, my hat says, what's going on here? Amale, haki bahaki havo. Master. He says, this is what happened to me today. Right? Amale, anahavai. She says, it was me. So don't worry about it. Even though you were succumbed to the solicitation of this woman, it was really me, so you don't have to worry about it. So ashkachba. Abdullah lay Simanish. He wouldn't even listen to her until she gave him Simanim. That was really her that was with him. Samarlah, Ana Miho the Yisurai Kavna. He says, despite the fact, my intent was a negative intent. I mean, even though it turned out to be my wife, my intentions were for, right, the Yisurai Kavna. I was for an Yisur. So Kol Yom Hashul Tuk Tadika Yimitaneh. All the rest of his life he was fasting. Hashem made both of Mita. They died from fasting, from the being overcome with the Isur that he had violated, I mean that he had intended for Isur, that was overcome him, that he was fasting and trying to do tshuva, that he died in that state of a babel's innocence. The Tanya, we have a bright that Isha Feiram, Hashem Yisbachla. The Pasuk says that the husband can be made fair, can be nullified, the woman's nether or nether nazir. Hashem Yisbachla. What's the Pasuk about? The Isha. Because why does Hashem have to forgive her if the husband is nullified? The nether doesn't exist anymore. So what does it mean? She took a nether nazirut, and her husband heard it. He's made for, he nullifies the nether, but she is not aware of the nullification. She go ahead and then is violating the Isur Nazir, even though what? Even though she thinks it still extends, still thinks that the nether is in place. So yes, she thinks she's not really sinning, but because she thinks she's sinning, that's enough that she requires slicha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see that when a person intends for Isur, even though they don't violate the Isur, they still require slicha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, not a guarantee, Hashem Yisrachla, but rather by Hashem Yisrachla, Hashem should forgive her. Mm-hmm. And that's not the, meaning that not, that it's a given.
She
right. It's not that it's a given. It's not a statement of fact. It's a statement that she must then request slicha. So that's why Rabbi Kiva, would have a mother like Tzuka, have a bochi. When he reached this pasuk, he used to start crying. Someone who tends to eat non-kosher ends up kosher food. They require kapara tzricha. Someone who eats chazir and he intended to eat chazir. I mean, I'll ask how much more so does he need kapara? Right? So he says that he doesn't know, and we still hold him accountable, and he has to carry the avon. When he reached this pasuk, he also be cry. Why? Someone who intended to eat shuman, right, and ended up eating chelev, and he intended to do something right, and he ends up doing a chelev. And someone certainly who wanted to eat chelev, and then he did eat chelev, that he needs slicha. So again, here the Torah gives both tzadim. Again, it's that where the person intended for hetzer ends up with Isur, or a person intends for Isur and ends up with hetzer, in both these cases he requires kapara. And certainly, akasama, if he intends for Isur and he ends up doing Isur, that he will require kapara. Same, right? Because saying that in the cases of shogeg, that he requires such a level of kapara, then for mezi we're going to require so much more, right? The standard, again, the threshold will be much higher. Isi ben Yudah Omer, v'lo yidah v'ashim nasabano, adavar zeh yidavu kol adubim. All those that are, you know, want to pay attention to this, they will cry out or they'll be upset about this. I mean, this is something that one must take seriously. That, again, if unintentional consequences cause or a need for a kapara, then certainly cases where a person is intending for such consequences that he needs kapara. Right now, Bimari goes back to the Mishnah, Mitechet Adam im Imo. Alright, so that a person can be miyached with his mother. Amar Yudam Arav Asim Mitechet Adam im Akoto. Person can have yichud with his sister as long as it's on occasion. I mean, he can't live with his sister, but on occasion he can be miyachud with his sister. And his mother and his daughter, he can live with, meaning that they can be in a permanent state of yichud. It's no problem. Right, so Rashi says the reason is don't talk of Yisrael Ayu. There's not a high yich there for these arayos. Why is that? The Ahanu Be'anshe Knesset Zolah. Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and other places in Yoma mentions that the Sanhedrin killed the, or not killed, they tried to kill the Yitzhara for Arayot, in the end, they only ended up poking out its eyes. So when they poked out its eyes, they diminished the Yitzhara for Arayot, meaning that for those that are close or relatives, it goes. Now Rashi doesn't, when it says that, all the mother says that it lowered the Yitzhara for Arayot, doesn't define which Arayot. Rashi's coming to say here that it's really the mother and the daughter. Arayot may not have broader implications for other Arayot. Ki Amra Kamei Shmuel Amar Asruli Tachedim Kol Arayot Shebetorah Vafilin Behima. Shmuel said the exact opposite. Says you can't be miyakel with any Arayot, even with an animal. Meaning, because any that's written in the Parshat Arayot can't be miyakel with bestiality. That's one of the things that's written there. Tanah Mityached Adam Yimimo Vimbito Yashenim Mehem Bekiruv Basar. Our Mishnah, it says explicitly, a person can be miyachid with his mother and his daughter, and they actually can sleep with them, right? Unclothed, they can sleep with them, right? As long as they're young enough, the child or the daughter or the father or the son are young enough. The tiyuv to the Shmuel. That's a huge question in Shmuel. What's Shmuel saying? So I'm going to tell Shmuel, what are you going to do with this brisa? A sister, a mother-in-law, one can't be miyachid with him. Ela be'edim, only with edim. Be'edim in, shelo be'edim lo. Right, it says that only with Edim can you be miyachid with these types of Arayot. So you have a bright, another Tanaic work that clearly states that you cannot be miyachid with your sister. El etznayi. So machlokes tanaim. Machlokes tanaim, whether you can be miyachid with a Arayot. Again, the Arayot that we're really talking about are focused on over your sister, mother, and daughter. Tanya. I'm Rabbi Meir. He's haru bi mipnei biti. So Rabbi Meir says, you know, make sure or ensure that I don't have yichud with my daughter. I mean, that he was kosher for the tzad of Shmuel, right? Obviously, Rabbi Meir is a Tana, but he was a Tana that said that I worried about. There is the concept of yichud. Possibly, right. I'm Rabbi Tarfon, it's ever beat me pnei kalatit. Rabbi Tarfon says, you know, make sure that I don't have yichud with my daughter-in-law. Ligvei galav otzo talmid. One talmid who heard him, laughed at him that he was worried about having yichud with his daughter-in-law. I'm Rabbi... Right. I'm a Rabbi Bo, right? Very good. That's a good question by Rabbi Meir. I'm a Rabbi Bo, Mishum Rabbi Chanida ben Gamliel, right? Low are you Yamim Muatim at Shinikshal Ototamid Bechamuto, right? That it wasn't a short time before this Talmud who had laughed at Rabbi Tarfon ended up having some illicit relations with his mother in law. So the word says, Afilu im Behema. Even with a Behema, Shmuel says that you can't be Miyachet, even with a animal. Abaya Mikhlale Mikula Dabro or Makhluhu Mikula Dabro. So Rashi brings down one interpretation is that when he was learning outside, he used to clear out all the animals from the area that he was learning in so that he wouldn't be miyached with the animals. So the possibility Rashi brings down adheres to that he wouldn't let the Roim, he wouldn't let the shepherds be alone with the animals, problem of Yichud. And then Rashesh's Marvale Matra, he would put up a fence or some sort of a geder in order to separate between him and the animals. So now, Rav Chanan ben Arda, equal to Rav Kahano. So Rav Chanan ben Arda came to Rav Kahano, the Fum Naro. He was at the edge of a river. Chazi, the Yatsim called Garis. He was learning away. The Kaimi Behema command. There was an animal standing there, right there. Amalei, lo sabar l'amara, afilim behema. Don't you hold up the problem that you can't be miyachid with an animal? He says, Amalei, lava datai. I was so engrossed in my learning that I did not pay attention. I didn't see that there was an animal here. So Tzir points out, we're going to see it in a Mishnah coming up, that all these Amoraim were Chumra. They were chumra, they were noig by Esmam. But we have a general principle that we practice like the Rabbanon in the Mishnah coming up against the Yehuda, that we're not koshesh by bestiality and homosexuality, we're not koshesh for Bnei Yisrael, we're not koshesh in that, and then there's no problem of yichud with men, there's no problem of yichud with animals. Yichud only exists, right, with the opposite sex. Omer Rabba, v'diached adam im shtei yivamot. A person can be miyached with two yivamot. Now again, These issues that are coming up, the Gemara is going to give a list of women that he's allowed to be miyachid with, because in this case, they hate each other. And since they hate each other, right, then they will only be too happy to spill the beans on the other one. So if you have two yivamot, you have two sister-in-laws, you have sister-in-laws, right, that are there. A man can be miyachid with these two sister-in-laws, because if he perpetrates an act with one of the sister-in-laws, the other one will spill the beans on him. Why will she spill the beans on him? Because she has the fear that she might become his co-wife. You know, if there's a possibility that they'll be miyabim, right, in the future, if her brother dies, that she'll end up being the co-wife, so she hates her. Vim shtei tzaros, co-wives. Again, two co-wives, you can be miyachid with them because if Reuven has two wives, then Shimon can be miyachid with these two wives, because again, if one of them perpetrates an act, then the other one was more than happy to get her into trouble and spill the beans. Right, a woman and her mother-in-law. Right, these are all a list in the Gemara in Yevamot. These are women that are not believed to come back and say that her husband died abroad. Because again, they have a vested interest in causing a problem for this woman. So these are women that always, there's tension between them. So it's a woman and her mother-in-law, imisha ubat bala, a woman and her stepdaughter, imisha, and then this is one of the heterim that is very important, imisha v'tinoket shildat tam bi'ah, v'enu moserta tzmala bi'ah, that as a daughter or woman or a young child that knows about bi'ah, I mean they're aware that if someone is having relations that they know what it is, but they don't themselves have the desire to participate. So that type of child, when there's a window of age or opportunity where a child can prevent there being yichud for adults. Because they will tattle, they will tell, they spill the beans about the story, but they would not be a participant because they don't have that yetzer yet to participate, but they're aware. Same thing, a young boy or a girl would be, both of them, again, that if the child is young enough where they are not, they themselves are not tempted, but they are aware enough to tell over what transpired. Right? So this is, again, one of the biggest terms, especially for families, if you have children, and once you have children of a certain age, they can help you, until they cross over again, the line again, become too old, but at a certain age, they can help you out. Bekama, Amarav, Adabra, Avo. Alright, so we said now that the Mishnah continues, that Hidu, Yezei, Yesham, Bksuto, but once they can become old enough, they have to be in their clothing. So a girl who must be like 9 years in one day already, she has to be clothed when she sleeps with her father. A child, a boy, can sleep naked until 12 years in one day. That the ages are bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah, and that's the threshold. So now, how to read this is machloket harishonim. Right, the zevazek can mean both the first opinion, Rav Aza, and the Ika D'Amrei, both believe that it's got to do with Shadayim Nechon V'Sarech Tzimeach. At what point do we consider, number one, pubic hair to be puberty? I mean, what's the threshold where we don't say it's a shuma anymore, that we don't say it's just a birthmark or a growth, but rather it's really a sign of puberty. So that's what they're arguing about. And Shadayim Nechon is that they both agree that it has to be, as a growth starts to develop, right, that's a siman of Narut. So we're looking for these simanim. When did those simanim start? And that's the threshold they're talking about, right? The other possibility about zevzeh, right, could be talking about the Tana Batra, that the second opinion that says 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy is saying zevzeh kadesh shadayim nochonu for the girl that she developed, zareach simeach is for the boy that he reaches puberty. I mean that's the 12 and 13. That's the threshold based on the puzzle. And zevzeh means male female. Based on this puzzle, that's only the second opinion. That's the Makos Shurim had to read it here. That's it. Amar Afram Bar Papar Chisul Oshana Oshena Bosha Lamod Lisnav Arum. That as long as they are not embarrassed to stand naked in front of their parents, that's indication that they can still sleep naked. But Avam Bosha Lamod Lisnav Arum Asur. Right? Once they are embarrassed to stand naked, then my time of Yetzer Al Bosha. Then we know already that the Yetzer has entered her because the embarrassment is caused by the Yetzer Hara. That's the Marishon, right? Only knew he was naked once he had the Yetzer Hara. So that's the acknowledgement or the understanding that one is naked or embarrassed about being naked means the Yetzer is Abusha. Now this would be very difficult because this would knock off almost everything we said before. Because if this is where Yetzer Abusha already is when they're embarrassed to be naked, right, that is a very low age or threshold. And if that's when the Yetzer comes in, then they don't really protect very much, according to what we said in the Gemara before. So Rashi over here, the Yetzer Abasha is that they have tam bi'ah. Not that they have a desire for bi'ah, but they have a tam bi'ah. And that this is still within that threshold. Meaning that when they start being embarrassed about being naked, means that they have a feeling, they have a sense of what bi'ah is, or they're embarrassed because if the Yetzer come in, but not that they would actually want to perform that act. And so that would still be within that threshold of when they... Right. Exactly. So now... So Rav Abba went to the house of Rav Chista, his son-in-law. Shakla the bat frate, he took his granddaughter. Otzbuah b'kantei, right? He wrapped her up in his cloak, right? Amalei, look, Amalamar the mekatcha. Don't you know that she's engaged already? Amalei, avarta lecha adarav. He says his grandfather says back. I mean, the father says back to the son-in-law. Rav Abba, who says to his son-in-law, right? Rav Chista, he says to him. You mean she's engaged already? You violated the principle of Rav. What is that? can't marry off your daughter when she said, no, I should take the deal with Omar, but Kulani Rota, that I want this and this person. I mean, that you can't, how did you marry off this my granddaughter when she's still a Kano? So he says, back to Rav Kisda, not going to be, you know, one upmanship here. Marinami Avra Alea de Shmuel. You, right, Rav Akar, over the did of Shmuel. What is that? Amar Shmuel, Amish Tam Shemisha. Not allowed to use a woman, right? Not allowed to use a woman for any reason. So he says, Amar Alea, I'm not the Edip de Shmuel, really. I hold like the other Shmuel. What it says, Amar Shmuel, I call the shame Shemaim. That everything is done the shame Shemaim. And Rashi says, what does it mean I call the shame Shemaim? Veidati Akarea the Chibat Ishut. The reason I'm taking my granddaughter here and wrapping her up in my cloak is not because I want to marry her or I have any desire for her. To show closeness, right? To show a sense of family. To give my daughter pleasure in her seeing me hold her daughter, hold my granddaughter. When I hold my granddaughter, then it gives tremendous hanoah to my daughter to see me, you know, engaging with my granddaughter. And Tosfos over here comments, it's interesting, so I don't know what he's referring to. He says, that's what we rely on today. That we use women today. We're so much on this. It's a kol l'shem shemayim. Now, examples earlier in the Gemara in Kedushin, right? We had examples of Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Right. Right. That is a. There was a waitress who's acting as a waitress. I don't know what you need a kol l'shem shemayim over there. Right. Right. The way Rashi explains the shem shemayim sounds like that's some korat ruach. What is that? The korat ruach of having his daughter serve at the table. Not sure, but that's.
Shem shemayim.
Right.